Pick up the authorized version of Holy Scripture that you'll find in front of you in the pew. And turn with me to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And we're reading at chapter 3, at the verse 14, from verse 14 to verse 22 of the third chapter of the book of the Revelation. We read it together on the Lord's Day morning. Take your time from me, please. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's all here you read. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And God shall step with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from his very own infallible book. I want to speak this morning on resisting the harvest of the Spirit of God. And this falls into the series of messages I have been giving on why does revival tarry. Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We don't have revival in the church because verse 16 says, we're to rejoice evermore, and God's people are not rejoicing evermore. Verse 17 says we're to pray without ceasing. Alas, God's people are not praying without ceasing. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. God's people are not always thankful. And then at verse 19, it says, quench not the Spirit. Do not resist the harvest of the Spirit of God. Our catechism sums up the doctrine of the Holy Spirit with a few brief, concise, and Bible-based answers. It asks in question 4 What is God? It gives the answer, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And it gives us a scripture proof text, John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Question 5 asks the question, are there more gods than one? And the answer is, there is but one only, the living and true God. And it gives us a proof text, Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then question 6 asks the question, how many persons are there in the Godhead? And the answer is, there are 3 persons in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And the proof text it gives is Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And 1 John 5:7, for there are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. Now when you examine the Scriptures, it is very plainly revealed that the Holy Spirit is not a divine influence. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is declared to be a spirit in the same way as God the Father is a spirit, and God the Son is a spirit. Our text tells us that the Holy Spirit can be quenched. You couldn't quench an influence. You could only quench a person, because the Spirit of God is a person. The New Testament goes on to tell us the Holy Spirit can be grieved when a believer sins. You can't grieve an influence. You can only grieve a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit, the New Testament tells me, can be blasphemed. Blasphemy is normally thought of as being rendered against God the Father, and also against God the Son, and then finally against God the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the greatest sin of all that can be committed, because it consists of it contributing the works of Christ to Satan. When the Holy Spirit bore witness to Christ's work as being from the Father, this is the sin of final rejection of the Lord Jesus. Upon the forehead God has set indelibly his mark, unseen by man, for man as yet is blind and in the dark, indeed the doomed man's path below. May bloom as Eden bloomed. He does not, will not know or feel, not only doomed, but that. Dear unsaved man rejecting Christ, take care you don't commit the unpardonable sin and in this service say no once too often to the Holy Spirit, and He will withdraw from you and your soul will be lost forever. The New Testament tells me the Holy Spirit can be resisted. And you have that illustrated in Acts 7:15, when the first martyr of the Christian era of the church, Stephen, said they resisted the Holy Spirit of God. You can't resist an influence. You can only resist a person. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells me, can be lied to. You remember Peter confronted Ananias and Sapphira and said they lied to the Spirit of God. You cannot lie to an influence. You can only lie to a person. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. He is a person. The Holy Spirit can be disobeyed. This is set out graphically by Peter when those people rebuked him for preaching to the Gentiles. And Peter said, I must obey the Spirit of God who told me I was to preach to the Gentiles. In the application of God's work of salvation on the human heart, the Holy Spirit is the sole administrator. As the great theologian Charles Hodge called him, the executor of the Godhead. He's the man, or the Spirit, the God rather, he's the God who apply to our hearts the efficacy of the Savior's precious blood. To quench the Holy Spirit is a dark and awful sin. To grieve the Holy Spirit is a dark and awful sin. To resist the Holy Spirit is a dark and awful sin. To lie to the Holy Spirit is a dark and awful sin. To disobey the Holy Spirit is a dark and awful sin. But to blaspheme Him is the final sin, which can never be forgiven. So we tread today holy ground, and we need to have the fear of God upon us. Now the Scripture gives us many emblems which illustrate beautifully and in a wonderful manner the working of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is represented as oil. He's represented as a seal. He's represented as water, as dew, as the wind. He's called the earnest. He's represented as the dove. And he's mightily represented as the fire. By the way, if you want a most interesting study of the emblems of the Spirit, I'm glad to announce that Dr. F. E. Marsh, who was a great Bible teacher, I heard him preach in Bellarmine when I was just a boy. He wrote the greatest book ever written on the emblems of the Spirit. It has just been republished and is available in Bible bookshops. Mr. Spurgeon himself highly recommended that work. I would recommend it to you, The Emblems of the Spirit. It is a theme worthy of the consideration and meditation of all the people of God. Now, when you read the Bible, you will find different titles given to the Holy Spirit. He's called One Spirit. That represents His unity. You'll find that in Ephesians 4 and verse 4. He is typified as the seven spirits of God. Revelation 1:4 and Revelation 3:1. His perfection, His omnipresence and completeness. Seven is the number of perfection and completion. He's called the Lord the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. That emphasizes His sovereignty. He's called the Eternal Spirit. That represents His eternality in Hebrews 9, verse 14. He's called the Spirit of Glory. That represents His glory, 1 Peter 4:14. He's called the Spirit of Life. That represents His vitality and life-giving power, Romans 8 and verse 2. He's called the Spirit of Holiness. He's called the Holy Spirit and the Holy One. That emphasizes His holiness. Romans 1, 4, Matthew 1, 20, 1 John 2, and verse 10. Spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, that underscores His almighty wisdom, His almighty counsel, and His almighty power. Exodus 28:3, Isaiah 11:2. He's called the Spirit of Might. That's His almighty power, His omnipotence. Isaiah 11:2. He's called the Spirit of Fear. That's His reverence. Isaiah 11:2. He's called the Spirit of Truth. That represents His truthfulness, John 14, 17. He's called the Free Spirit. That represents His sovereign freedom, Psalm 51 and verse 12. He's called the Spirit of Grace. That's Hebrews 10, verse 29. He's called the Spirit of Supplication. That's Zechariah 12 and 10, His prayerfulness, the spirit of supplication. So when you quench the Spirit, child of God, this is your sin. You quench the One Spirit, the perfect Spirit, the Lord the Spirit, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Glory, the Spirit of Life, the Spirit of Holiness, the Spirit of Wisdom, Understanding, Counsel, and Knowledge, the Spirit of Might, the Spirit of Fear of the Lord, the Spirit of Truth, the Free Spirit, the Spirit of Grace, and the Spirit of Supplication. What a sin we commit when we quench the Spirit of God. Is it any wonder that revival tarries when day after day God's people are sinning against the Holy Spirit of God. My text this morning highlights a very great sin that Christians commit. And it's only a Christian can commit this sin because only a Christian possesses the Holy Spirit of God. One of the emblems of the Holy Spirit and its principal emblem is fire. The first time that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ, mentioned the Spirit of God, he said this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Or rather, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was speaking to John the Baptist, mentioned this. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Correction, it was John the Baptist that said it. "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." A contrast between two fires. The fire that symbolizes the presence and the power and the glory and the victory of God, and the fire that represents the judgment of God. There is a baptizing fire for service, but there is a judgment fire for sin. The fire the believer can quench is this baptizing power for service. Hell fire is unquenchable. The work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer is represented by the symbol of fire. First, what does fire do? It takes away the coal. That's the first thing fire does. Ask yourself, am I cold or hot or lukewarm? We read today in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Did you notice the contrast? These people thought they were rich with gold, but the Lord said, "You haven't the gold tried with the fire. You have a substitute gold." The Laodicean church today, and that's the state the Church of Jesus Christ is in, has plenty of substitute gold, but hasn't the gold tried in the fire? Notice the counterfeit clothing. And the Lord spoke of that, and he said, they couldn't even cover their nakedness with that clothing. But he said, "I can give you white clothing." Is our speech always covered with white clothing? Is it always gold tried with fire? Notice, the counterfeit honor was in reality shame, because they honored not the Spirit of God. And the vision instead of light was blindness. The vision should have been pure and holy. You need anointed with eyesight that you might be able to see. In verse 16, we're called upon to be on fire with what? The fire of repentance. That word zealous. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Back to humility. Back to communion with our Savior. Back to submission. Total and absolute submission to Christ. You have quenched the Spirit. He has spoken to you. You haven't listened to Him. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. This blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Lord, send the fire. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty of quenching the Spirit of God. Time has beaten me. We will come back to that subject at a later date.